Time for us to go into nature. Be one with nature. Get into our nature diary for this week. Joined, as always, by our resident CSI and nature conservationist, Tim Neary. Tim, good morning.
Good morning. You do know about the story of elephants in nature, don't you?
No.
No, this elephant was in terrible trouble and it walked across and the chap sorted out the problem with its foot.
Yeah.
20 years later, the elephant approached him and he went up to go and have a look at its foot and it stood all over him. Wasn't the same elephant.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Also, elephants have really sensitive feet.
Very sensitive feet. Very sensitive. And each footprint is like a fingerprint.
Really?
Yes. And remember that elephants walk they're like you ladies. They walk on their tippy toes.
Do they?
Yes, they don't walk flat-footed, so they walk on high heels all the time.
That's so cute.
Yes.
I didn't realize that.
Just a silly thing, just to continue your conversation from before me.
Yes.
Okay, so my lower lip is the inside of my mouth.
What do you mean?
So they cut out 48 millimeters were sideways.
Yeah.
And 22 from front to back because of skin cancer.
Really?
And then he took the inside of my mouth and put it outside. So it's very susceptible. That's why I cover it with a sort of moustache thing.
Right.
And So I have lots of, I've got a thing called squamous skin cancer.
Oh.
So regularly there are bits and pieces cut out. You'll find welders as well. People who did a lot of welding get a lot of skin cancer on their chests.
Why is that?
From the radiation from the welding.
Oh.
And so much of this damage that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay, go back to the age group that you're seeing, particularly with melanomas, or the older people. What was our sunscreen of choice?
What was it?
Brill cream.
Really?
So we had brill cream, we had olive oil. There was no such thing as sunscreens. You did not have sunscreens.
Yeah.
That didn't exist. And quite honestly, I think it's one of the most criminal things out. I went in to go and buy a bottle of sunscreen the other day, 430 rand.
Sunscreen is expensive.
Okay, so, you know, as far as I'm concerned, go to hell. Stop. You're taking far too much money for something that's very, very serious.
Mm.
And that frustrates the hell out of me. I've lost two friends to melanomas that Doc was talking about there.
Yeah.
One was on his foot and one was on his face.
Really?
So, no. You know, don't mess with this stuff. When your skin does funny things, go and get it looked at. Into nature we go. I suppose that is nature as well, isn't it?
Yes.
Because we're out in nature. We're in the sun most of the time.
We too are a part of nature.
Yes. Sometimes I wonder. You know, it's like civilized man.
Yeah.
Don't let's go there.
So we're looking at some listener questions this week, which we haven't done in a long time, actually. And I quite enjoy these because sometimes I'm like, I didn't think of that.
No.
Yeah.
And Charlotte, by the way, is still keeping everybody guessing.
Yeah, Charlotte the Stingray.
Yeah, Charlotte still has not produced her pups.
Which I'm hoping are shark ray pups.
Yes.
Unlikely.
Yes.
Unlikely to be shark ray pups.
Not impossible.
Not impossible, but the chance is very small.
Yes.
Of course, Charlotte the Stingray is this stingray that's in North Carolina, I think it is. She's been in a tank for about 8 years, I think.
By herself,
save for two bamboo sharks.
Yes.
And so now everyone is enthralled because did Charlotte conceive a baby through immaculate conception? Or did Charlotte spend special time with a bamboo shark?
Yes.
And it's looking like it's just asexual reproduction. Her and a bamboo shark did not do it.
No.
But I'm hoping it's the other one because that's more exciting. And I'd like to see what a shark ray pup looks like. That could be fun. Mainly for me.
Stingray with large teeth like a white shark.
That could be fun.
No, could you imagine it? Feeding stingrays is great fun. That's something else we're going to get you to do.
Have we forgiven stingrays for what happened to Steve Irwin?
Why did we need to blame the stingrays?
Well, because he died from a stingray. Not attack, but...
No, well, he got on the wrong end of it and it was a freak accident.
And so does this mean we forgive? What I'm checking is what is the consensus? Because I know many of us who grew up with Steve Irwin haven't forgiven the rays.
All right, we'll have to talk nasty to the rays. We'll have to find the ray and make sure that we incarcerate it.
Okay.
There we go. That'll make you feel better.
Yeah, that works for me.
Yeah, we'll give it
we'll
to you.
Find it.
We'll do stingray a la carte or something.
The other question you got is, where do birds go to die?
Yeah, I like that. You know, and I think that came up because we've had a lot about bird flu on various programs that we've done, keeping bird feeders clean and the water, et cetera, clean. And people, at one stage, there were birds dying at bird baths, and that was because of the bird flu. But where do they go to die? Why don't we see dead birds in our garden?
Mm.
Okay, and it's very simple. Think of what a bird is. A bird is a pile of feathers, a little bit of skin, almost the most delicate of bones, and a small piece of meat.
Yeah.
Okay, so something like a mossy, there's not a lot of it, or even a dove. So yes, they do die, and they do die in your garden, and they do die in the park on a daily basis. But of course, they're consumed very quickly by ants, by flies laying their larva in them, etc., by other birds that might come across and scavenge. So you right. might get a crow coming past, or you may get a cuckoo that everybody, you know, that wonderful, lovely sound of the rainbird, who's the most miserably murderous swine you've met in years. Okay, but that doesn't matter. That's what he's designed to do. And birds, there are some birds that are designed to eat carrion and all that are lying around the place.
Yes.
But predominantly, it's a case of very quick. Once two or three flies get in, and that's what happens, is that the bird will start to expand as it rots from the inside. And a small split will happen. That's all the fly needs. And the fly will lay the eggs inside there. Maggots appear. And within moments, you've got, well, not moments, but within a day or two, there's nothing left of the flesh.
Yeah.
And think of a rat that's in your garden or in your roof. You know, you get that wonderful odor of Odicodedus ratus, okay? And you think, oh my God. And then it goes in a day or two.
Yeah.
And that's because the flies have got in, the maggots have got in, they've done what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And that's nature.
So birds do die. They just decompose a lot quicker.
They just decompose very quickly. We did a lovely program some years ago on the Pilansberg. We used the Pilansberg as one site. And there was a dead wildebeest who was called Waldo 1. And then Waldo 2 was in a controlled reserve, what I call a controlled reserve. It was a breeding reserve for sable antelope. And Waldo 1 disappeared literally in days. Hyena chomped on him. The mongoose came past and had his feed. Everybody came along. Everybody got involved. All the whole of nature. But certain parts of nature, the carrion eaters and the scavengers, etc., were missing on the second reserve. Mm. And Waldo turned himself into a dried drum. Waldo didn't decompose much.
Mm.
Okay, and that was just purely because there wasn't the decomposition going on, and there wasn't the characters that you would normally find in the bush attacking. And it's very the message goes out tremendously quickly. So you'll find a zebra that's been taken down. As the lion opens up the animal, the dung beetles appear to come and scavenge what they can and everybody else. And it's quite interesting to watch some of our animals. Some of the predators, they, for example, won't touch the stomach.
Mm.
Okay, and they almost roll it away and roll it and put it to one side because of the high odors and all that come out of there. As soon as that's open, the message is out. Okay, restaurant open for business. Pull in everybody, and now we've got competition. Everybody's snapping at everybody else.
Yeah.
I love watching things like that. Decomposition is part of nature, and I think it's wonderful.
Yeah. I drove past because I was in Kruger last week. That's why I wasn't here. And there were two lions, two males that had just done a kill of like a small wildebeest. And it was still pretty fresh. And I'm trying to remember if the stomach was there, actually. And they just couldn't move. They'd eaten themselves into this semi-coma. And us taking pictures and like looking at them, they didn't care. They were just so full. You could see their little stomachs being distended. And our guide said at some point, because now that they're done, everyone else will get the message.
Yes.
That, like, supper's
pull
ready.
In, chaps.
Dinner's ready. There's baby wildebeest, and you can
a nice, tender, juicy wildebeest. Let's
yeah,
go.
Come through.
And it's quite interesting also, when you see how different animals eat different parts. So a cheetah, for example, will pull an animal down, and it'll go straight for the rump, and it'll eat the good, juicy meat out the rump.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then it gets the hell out of there. because it knows that as soon as it's got a couple of mouthfuls, there's a hyena waiting to get rid of the cheetah, and it'll chase it off. And that's one of the things a cheetah is very opportunistic, okay, because it doesn't get to sit and eat the whole meal.
Is that why? Although no, that's leopards. Leopards take it up into a tree.
Leopards take it up into a tree, so we don't have competition.
Right.
But now, interestingly enough, this is where rehabilitation becomes an interesting challenge. So rehabilitation means that you've got an animal often in a boma, and you've got a cheetah in a boma. So now you have to feed it. So you go out and you shoot a bokkie, bring the bokkie back, and you feed the bokkie to the cheetah. But you feed it the whole bokkie. Now the cheetah starts to get the wrong message, and it goes out, and when it does hammer something, when it does pull down an animal, it now has learnt that it can eat more than just the rump and scatter, okay, without competition. So a lot of times you see when they've got them in the boma, they don't feed a complete animal. You only feed parts of the animal just so that you keep that whole message going, that when you get out of here, you still got to fend for yourself.
Yeah. A message from Garth on 31702 says, good morning, Googs and Tim. Can you please ask Tim if animals such as lions and cheetahs can see colour?
Garth, I don't. Due to the structure of the eye, we're told that they can. We're told that blue is an issue, and which is why there was a stage where hunters were dressing themselves in blue camo. But I think that's since gone out the door.
Yeah.
Okay, so there is their eye structure. If you talk to a vet or the profs, they'll tell you that the eye structure does allow them to see color. Okay, so they don't see everything in black and white. There is a certain amount of color, and there is their color definition.
One of the other questions we got is, what determines the end of life for an elephant? That's interesting.
Okay, so what determines the end of life for your pooch at home? A vet, usually.
Yeah,
a vet and an injection, or dies.
Or age.
Or age, and it dies peacefully in its sleep.
Yeah.
Okay, but your pooch at home lives to mostly 15 to 18 years, depending on what sort of pooch you've got. You got a Fox Russell, so that lives forever. Okay.
Oh, do they?
Oh.
That's wonderful, because I was willing to turn him into sort of a Frankenstein monster situation to keep him alive.
Oh, Jack Russells live forever. They're wonderful.
Excellent.
Yes. I think my last Jack Russell lived to 19.
Oh.
Okay, right. So your Jack Russell lives to that ripe old age. And it lives to that age because you're feeding it. If your Jack Russell was out fighting its life with the wild dogs, and fighting for existence where it was 10,000 years ago, okay, your Jack Russell would mostly live to about 6 or 7. Okay, now it can't run, it can't do things, etc. Ellie's exactly the same. So now the elephant starts to get old, and one of the defining features of the elephant is its teeth. So it sets 6 sets of teeth. Unlike you and I, who haul our teeth out and go to the dentist, it can't. So it gets an abscess, but its teeth wear down and are replaced 6 times.
Oh, wow.
When it gets to the end of its life, it means that its teeth, and it can't fend for its, it can't eat. So it starts to lose its ability to go and forage. And that's basically so many of our wildlife species. End of life is because you can't fend for yourself and you can't eat. Lions exactly the same. Okay, it's really horrible to see, because the poor old thing can't get along and do what comes naturally. But elephants, exactly, that's what it is.
So do they starve?
They starve to death.
Oh, no.
Okay.
I learned whales drown to death.
Whales drown?
Yes.
Yes.
At some point, they can't come up.
Because that's one of the issues, that whales can drown.
That broke my heart. Mm. And they just sink to the bottom of the sea.
Yes. And they become part and parcel of the ocean.
That's
and they
so
then
sad.
Spend the next... There's a documentary done on whales. I think it took over 2 years for the whale to break down completely.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. And then obviously the salt water does work does start to attack the bones and break down. But that's one of the reasons that you don't find skeletons, for example, in the sea. And that's why they'll explain to you that there are no skeletons lurking about at the Titanic. Because the salts in the water breaks down the bone structure, unlike when that's buried.
Oh.
Okay. And even then, think of some of the Think of some of the old archaeological sites that have been dug up. Okay, when they dig and they talk about finding where the burial spot is, there are no bones in there, but there is the markings where the bones were. There's a different coloration in the soil because the soil has broken down the bones back into its soil structure or into the soil structure.
Oh wow!
But yeah, unfortunately, a lot of our species.
Just starved to death.
Yeah, birds, even birds. It's a case of you can't get out. Nobody's there to feed you. Nobody's there to, you know, go along and put your kibbles in your bowl for you. So I'm afraid that becomes end of life. And that's why, look at lions. Look at Ellie's. Ellie's in captivity. They live a lot longer. They live longer than their 60 to 70 years. Mm-hmm. Okay, lions in captivity. You get an 18-year-old lion. An 18-year-old lion just wouldn't be found in the bush. Okay, it simply wouldn't be found in the bush because it can't catch its own food.
Aww.
Yeah, but sad.
That is sad. Yes. We did receive a WhatsApp voice note on 0727021702.
Morning, guys. Tato here. Great show as always, Googs. So if we are trying to get justice for Steve Irwin, and this stingray is thrown into jail, would this be an incarceration? Ask him for a friend.
Asking for a friend.
That will not be named.
It is St. Patrick's Day, Squire. I suspect you've been at the whiskey already. I think it's lovely. I think that is one of the best. Yes, it will be an incarceration.
Although I think we need to forgive the Rays. I think Steve would have wanted us to.
Absolutely.
Actually.
Absolutely.
I think let go of the Rays.
Let go of the Rays.
Another interesting question here. How has the latest cyclone in Mozambique, KZN, affected turtle hatchlings? You were recently down at Banga Beach to see the little turtles. Do we know if there's been any impact on
there? There would have been some impact. Obviously, unfortunately, can't be measured because it's at the end of season, fortunately. But the seas were tremendous from that cyclone. So anybody who's listening knows the research station at Banga Neck, which is right down on the beach, the waves were washing up to the front door.
Sure.
Okay, so it would have gone up this. And I was at that beach, as you said, 2 weeks ago. And when Santos sent me a photograph yesterday, the beach is a lot flatter. So there's been huge wave action that has happened there. But again, it's part of nature. Okay, and heavy seas invariably happen, fortunately, at the end of the hatchling season. So hopefully it was a minimal impact.
This is always an interesting story for me. How the military thought we were under attack from the sea in KZN.
How did they ever do this? We talk of military intelligence, and that's a questionable... oxymoron.
It's debatable.
Okay, so many years ago in the time when there was a red under every bed, they flew up the beach and they noticed that there were tracks coming from the sea, but there were no tracks going back out.
Okay.
And they looked at these tracks coming from the sea and going up towards the sand dunes and disappearing. So the military went and got all excited and they discovered that it wasn't amphibious vehicles running guns ashore. It was leatherback and loggerhead turtles, because as they come up the beach, their flippers work and they literally have to swim on the sand.
Yeah.
So they swim and they bring themselves up and they put themselves down.
So they make like tire tracks.
It looks just like tire tracks on an amphibious vehicle.
So no one thought before the amphibious vehicle, like the communists attacking us from the sea, that maybe it is the turtles. As soon as you were saying that there were tracks that went to the dunes but didn't go back, I thought, that sounds very turtle-esque.
Yes. Unfortunately, it wasn't thought of at the time.
Right.
But I thought it was just a lovely tracking story. And hopefully in about 2 weeks' time, we're going to be looking at a new book on animal tracks.
Oh.
And I just thought it was a lovely way of bringing it through.
All right. Okay. Okay. The final question. Do fish change gender? Can they change gender?
Yes, they can. Some fish, like clownfish, for example, are born, I think they're born male and they change to female later. There are some fish species, if you go and stick your nose into Google, There's some fish species that are really interesting that actually change sex depending on the ratio and the need within the shoal, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's a case of survival. And some of the fish change species, change sex as they get older. And they will, and that's also it also brings in the one of the items where we catch a little fish and we throw it back into the sea,
mm-hmm.
and we think we're doing right, and we catch the big fish and we keep it. The big fish is often the best breeder that you've got.
Oh,
the little guy is going back as food.
Right. Seahorses can also change gender. Yes? No?
No. See, as far as I know, the where that confusion comes in is that dad brings up the kids.
Right,
yeah.
Okay.
Dad has a pouch and everybody jumps in and it's at the count of three, all turn over to the left.
Right.
And dad does all the work.
Okay.
Mom goes off and has a wonderful life, has her nails done, etc., reshod and ready for the next dad.
The seahorses have it right. Tim, as always, great to chat to you. Thank you so much for coming in.
Have yourself a lovely day.
And that's how we wrap up our Nature Diary for this morning.